period. There's no like, I'm going to change the world to the school board. No, you're not going back to that place. It's not a safe place for you.
I agree.
It's not a fucking safe place.
I agree 100%.
I don't care if you sit the year out. It's fucking high school. I mean, well, the important to learn. Not from those kind of people. It's not. Not from those kind of people. There's plenty of learning out there to be done.
No. It has to come down. We're down to surviving at this point. This is not one of those things where we're all in this together. It's your job to protect your child. And if you see that people have put a good foot forward to try to change things and you see it's not changing, well, then no, now your top priority is your child. Now, if you have to adjust your career, which again, people could say, well, you don't know what you're talking about and it's not that easy. Okay, I get that. I understand completely. However, I did do it. We did it. We adjusted everything. We turned our world upside down. My husband worked 2 and 3 jobs to make sure that I was home homeschooling. But when I made that decision, he backed me up 100%.
I don't believe any of that bullshit. I think that with all the things I had to do in my life and many of the situations I put myself in, to be honest with you, graves I've dug for myself, but there's always ways out of things. And to me, it's
you
like,
figure it out.
Well, do you want these people around your kids? Like,
no,
we used to have dinners at the house every night before we went and played hockey and had hockey practice. Right. Every night we had dinner at the table, and I used that to deprogram the bullshit that they were taught in school. I said, no, listen. Listen, and they'd say, well, Mr. Williams really knows what he's talking about when it comes to business. And when they got a little bit older in high school, and I'd say, oh, yeah, okay, tell me about Mr. Williams. And they sit there and tell you, right? And they go, this, I said, you know, Mr. Williams has 4 bankruptcies, corporate bankruptcies. Did you know that about Mr. Williams? You're not supposed to be backgrounding. I said, I background everybody because they have ear. So I have I have to know who has you.
I'm with you.
And that's how you do it. I mean, and so if you have these people, it's just my book. I'm going to fucking say it. There are a lot of parents out there that are lazy and worthless. Plain and simple.
But no. A lot of them, and this happened when I started advocating with some people, you know, when I started doing it, they're afraid. They don't have faith in themselves because they don't think they're qualified. And I would tell them, you know, you are your child's first teacher. You know, the kindergarten teacher did not get some little animal crapping all over the floor. Your child went to school and knew their manners and knew how to write and knew how they knew their color. You were their first teacher. You can do this. It's easy. Trust me, it's easy. And like my husband would say, when our life changed so much, it was very relaxed atmosphere and life was good and you're not dealing with, you know, the institution anymore or the parents that come along with the institution anymore. Our life was so nice and laid back and we did so many, while he was working, we did so many great things during the day in Center City with all the museums and that at dinner, when he would come home for dinner in between going to his second job, he loved life so much. He said, I'll work 3, 4, 5 jobs. I'll dig ditches with a spoon because life is just so nice. Everybody is always happy. There's no stress. And so, I mean, when a man goes to work every day, do they want to come home to craziness on school, this bullshit project, and I've got to go do this and this for, you know, because I was always involved with the PTAs and all that stuff. And life was hectic and crazy. Then homeschooling, it was just nice. I worked it into our lives. He loved it. He said, I will dig ditches with a spoon to keep it this way. And it worked out. Worked out for quite a few years. And it was just really good. And then you give, even if you can only do it for a few years, it gives them a foundation to be lifelong learners, to seek out answers on their own. You know, I was the mom that when, you know, my son was 9 or 10 and he's like, Mom, my blah, 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 the machine, what do you call it? The video game machine is not working. Okay. All right, get on the phone. Get on the phone with the corporation. I would make him do it. All right, what did they tell you? Okay, box it up yourself. I'll take you to the post office. I would do all these things with my kids because I would say, you know, I'm not raising children. I'm raising adults. They need to learn these things. If we went to a store and he was trying to find something, or is this on sale, or are they out of this, and I want that, all right, ask the sale. Go get the salesperson. You ask them.
Well, the downside to all this is now, like, I agree with everything you're saying, and we did that, too, with our crew. And my older son left school to go play hockey, but he had to do school. Mm-hmm. He did it twice. At the eighth grade, he left. If a fantastic school. It was like a big thing because the school was so fucking awesome here. And he left, and he went to Western Canada for the year, and he played hockey in eighth grade. And so he was at school in Canada. And let me tell you something. School in Canada is not school in the U.S., okay?
Oh, interesting.
It's not. It's not even close. So they came back in high school, freshman, sophomore, junior year, played hockey here. Went to high school. Then senior year, junior teams came and said, why don't you come play junior hockey, all right, before college? And he said, well, I'll play after high school. And they said, no, you're ready to play now. You can play now. You can play. He was, when you're almost a senior, what are you, 17, 18?
Mm-hmm. Right?
You can come play with 19, 20-year-olds and you get better. So he did that. He left. He it's a big move, walking away senior year when you're the big man on campus. So he left, and then he had to do school on the road, right? So he was doing that. My other son was doing homeschool here. We yanked him out of school because they were all full of shit with this IEP and stuff, and he was being,
right.
You know, kids would, like, mess with him because he was a little different, and and he'd come home and say, hey, man, this kid's messing with me. And I'd say, "What? How many times has he messed with you? He messes with me on a regular basis." I said, well, here's what you got to do. You got to fuck him up. Plain and simple. So he fucked a couple guys up. And then he's the bad guy.
Of course he is.
He's the bad guy. He messed up one kid pretty bad. And some little runt just kept messing with him time and time again. I think we went back and forth with the teachers. It's not just I told him to mess the kid up. There's a lot of give and take. You're talking to the teachers. Why aren't you talking to the other parents, right? And finally, it comes down to, you know what? You just got to handle it yourself. So he jacked this kid up to the point where my wife called me. I was at City. She said, we got a problem. And I said, how bad is it? She said, I think it's pretty bad. I said, well, here's the deal. Don't go home. Pick him up, but don't go home. Right? Come to City, because I was in Delaware. Come to City. You could chill out in my office. I had a nice office. And we'll just chill out, and then we'll go out to dinner. She said, why? I said, well, because if the cops show up, they're gonna grab him. But they can't come to Delaware. They don't have the jurisdiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, we'll find out. You know, my older son was at home. If the cops show up, then we know. Then we'll lawyer up. There's no way they're grabbing this kid and taking him away. Because if you're lawyered up and you're prepared, they can't do it, right? In other words, we had to go through all this stuff because the people at the school wouldn't do their job, right?
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is the setup. They're setting them up for failure. They put these kids in these positions. And then when things go wrong, then it's the kid's fault.
Yeah. Or if he would have really hurt the kid. You know?
Right, exactly.
But exactly. We caught a break because the old man was like, you had it fucking coming. So
you
got to nurse your wounds. You were told, and you got bested.
Right.
So
that's amazing.
So we
that's
caught a
great.
Break. We caught a break there because it could have gotten pretty right. ugly. But my end point is, so they took a non-traditional path, and now when I'm at the dinner table, and I'll start saying something, you know, I'll go off on some kind of a rant, and they'll be like, excuse me, my good man, that's not entirely correct. historically, I don't know where you come up with these things, but that's not even close to. I'm like, God damn it. I can't even bullshit these guys.
That's funny.
Because they read a lot now, and they continue their education. It's got nothing to do with school.
That's my point. Right. That's exactly it. Once you let them have it in their own hands to explore things and do things like that, like all, you know, a few good years, and then send them back out there. And it's great. I think it's great. You know, I think people should have more faith in themselves. That they shouldn't be afraid or let people say, oh, you're not qualified. Just like, oh, we're not, you know, we've been fighting this battle with doctors. We're finding out they're not qualified. You know, we do better when we're in charge of our own health.
Or they're simply corrupt.
Exactly. So we're finding out that a lot of us out here that are figuring things out on our own and, you know, turning to, you know, unconventional, you know, people or reading more and trying different things is working out better than running to a hospital. We're figuring that out over the past few years. So, you know, the same thing applies to education. Figure it out.
What did Trump say? I even did great with the uneducated. We love the uneducated.
You can't even make it up, Mike. Stop.
We sat here and watched
just
that.
Stop.
Because we're running True Pundit. We sat here and watched that. I said, did you?
Oh, God.
Did he just say that?
Yes.
Played it
yes,
back.
He did.
Well, we love the uneducated. I said, this guy is on a roll. He could say anything. Yeah. He could say anything. And they love him.
And he got applause for that. Yeah, it's
Yay!
Pretty funny.
What a country.
Yeah. Yeah, well, when we talk about, oh, I loved your Hot Wire. It was absolutely great. You know, big farm against big insurance. This is going to get interesting.
I think that's going to be the cage match. I think that's the way it's shaping up. We got an insurance guy in the mix here, and they threw a Blue Cross Blue Shield. Now, they don't do life insurance, so to speak, but he's telling me it's a lot of people have cancer.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people mm-hmm. have a lot of people even more so have heart issues, and we're talking about 30s, 40s, 50s with no genetic chain. You know what I mean? It's not in their genetic history, etc. If your dad has a bad heart, your mom has a bad heart, it's a pretty good chance you're going to have some kind of heart problems, right? But if your mom and dad don't have heart problems and your grandparents didn't have anything, it's not genetic. And then all of a sudden, at 45, at 39, mm-hmm. boom, you have a heart problem like 6, 7, 8
right.
months after you took the jabs. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what's going on here. And so it's going to be interesting to see because I'll tell you what, these insurance companies at some point are going to stop paying. It's just gravity. It's simple as that. It's just gravity. It's like throwing a coin up in the air. It's going to come down. There's no doubt about it. These guys are not going to be, unless we have to backstop them, and that's not going to be $2 trillion. It's not going to be anywhere near $2 or $3 trillion. That's going to be an ongoing thing.
No, and I don't know if this again. Everything's labeled COVID-19. We know that. Even though they throw those bullshit variant names out there, like this week with everyone being sick, that's just what I call it, you know, and that's what everyone in my family calls it. You know, nobody's looking for a name. Nobody's going out and getting tested. Nobody cares. It's like, yep, cold, flu, sick, blah, 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 get better. But everything is still, you know, if somebody does get a test back, it'll say, COVID-19 positive or negative. So that's what they're saying. So I don't know if this is ever going to go away because someone had told me that they had came across COVID-19 support specialist jobs, lots of jobs posted. And one of them.
Support specialists. What do they do? They help you up when you have a heart attack?
You know why?
I can't get up.
Maybe you could look it up and see, but this came out of someone that does work with a DC law firm that deals specifically with helping H-1B visa holders get jobs.
Oh, they're bringing a lot of those folks in to replace American medical workers, American nurses.
Right. A lot of these are the job description is COVID-19 support specialist, and these are jobs just posted like this week, like they're new jobs. So I don't know, you know, what this job description entails. I did look up a few. One was like $25 an hour, but it really doesn't go into too much detail. So again, don't know what they're pivoting towards with this. You know, it's like they won't let this die. But in my heart, I know what Edward Dow was saying is true. I do believe that these stocks are going to tank, and because they cannot, like we keep saying, they cannot continue to hide the massacre that is going on. And I did watch the 5-hour panel discussion this week. You know, and I thought it was really good, especially for people who have not heard what we're talking about for 2 years. Most of what they were talking about, we've already known. We've already talked about the stories of, you know, withholding treatments and doctors being threatened. We've known all this, but there are people that didn't know this. So you know, if you're a beginner to finding out about the scam, that was a good jumping off point. But you know, I also have been diving into the other scientists that are to debate these doctors and scientists about, you know, the origins and the fact whether or not this has been isolated and is it one big scam. So, you know, I'm still looking for that debate. So I go in search of things on my own, and yeah, there's a lot of things not sitting well with me, but I don't know if we're going to get to see this debate ever play out, but at least the panel discussion was a good jumping off point so that people could understand just how bad it is out there with the myocarditis. And, you know, doctors admitting, you know, that their licenses were threatened. And we asked that question 2 years ago. Why are they standing down? Why are they not treating symptoms? Why is
just follow the money when all else fails, follow the money. And there's your,
well, in the very beginning, we didn't, you know, look at the PREP Act and what HHS was doing in the very, very beginning, because we couldn't wrap our minds around it. You're saying there's this new thing killing people. And then we come to find out that it was 100% recovery rate, practically. That it was no more than any other seasonal cold or flu. And then you find the real reason that people are dying is because of the remdesivir or people that had so many comorbidities that when they actually went into pneumonia, they weren't treated properly. We knew this. We kept saying, why are they not treating symptoms? So that's why the panel discussion was good, so that I do know a lot of people that never heard some of these stories because they're not on social media. They're not following this stuff as closely. And now they're in a little bit of shock. And that's why I had to laugh when your guest had said, and I laughed out loud, you know, I was like, oh, could it be that the pissed off Wall Streeters that are jabbed are going to be the real heroes?
No, don't kid yourself.
Eventually.
Don't kid yourself. They're pissed off. They are. And so, and it's very simple because some of them are sick. So they don't need to read any headlines in the Wall Street Journal or anywhere else.
That's right.
Bloomberg, they see it on the trading desks. Oh, this cat's not here. Well, where are they at? Because the Wall Street guys, they're fucking workers, man. People go, oh, they're Wall Street. They're bums. Now, well, okay, you can say whatever. They work. They work, and if they get to you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. If they get to a point where they don't work, I know one cat at Citigroup, he worked like, I'm not kidding, he worked like 3 hours a day. He had 4 or 5 assistants, but he had worked 35 years, so like almost 18 hours a day for 35 years, and then he was working different international desks, so he didn't even get weekends off, right? Because he was in on Sunday, because by the time you come in on Sunday, the markets are open somewhere else for Monday. So, and, you know, that's one of the funny things about just America in general these days. Everybody thinks everything's so fucking simple. If somebody is successful, oh, well, it's easy what they do, and they they don't have to work, and I could do that. You could. You could do it if you learned and you put the time in, right? But these guys work their ass off, and so they're always around each other. Their families do everything together. They're real tight-knit, these guys, right? And if they do well, they do well together. If it's a shitty year, shitty month, they do poorly together. But when you're missing your teammates, well, and yeah, everybody understands why, then, and that process is still going on, believe me. I mean, the word on the street is not out that much, but, you know, I look at Moderna today, Maria, and I have to laugh. I mean, I'm not in the market at all. I own no stocks. People are like, you're talking about these stocks. Do you own them? Well, I don't own them, but I might be shorting them, or I might be playing some options,
right,
especially Moderna. Right. I think Moderna is in serious trouble. So if I do buy some puts, some options against Moderna, I'll be fucking straightforward about it. You know why? Because I want to track it. I want to say, look, I got, you know, put a couple, I'm not talking thousands of dollars, I don't have that kind of money, but I could put a couple $100 just for a sport and say, here we go. Here's how my options are looking. And then teach people more about playing options. People get a little complicated and a little dangerous too. Now, Moderna is a dangerous stock. People ask me straight away, should I be shorting Moderna? Should I be buying options for Moderna's demise? It's a great question, and it's a dangerous question, because if you're new to this, if you're new to options, options are good if you have a stable stock that's not volatile. This stock is the equivalent, let's say Apple, right? If you wanted to play Apple and you think Apple is going to go up, well, that's a stable stock. So you're going to get a better price from the option brokers who set the price, right? You're going to get a more stable price. You're going to pay less. But if you want to in essence, short Moderna through the options, Moderna is like the equivalent of handling a box of dynamite on a daily basis. You don't know if it's going to go down 4 points. Today it was down 4 points. Or you don't know if it's going to go down 50 points. So you're going to pay a lot of money because of that volatility. And so it might not be advantageous. It's at $148 to get involved. Now, if and when it gets down to a $50 stock, then you can, right? You can get more bang for your buck and less risk because it's a lower stock. I think it's going down. I think you can just wait.
I just think a lot of this is going to blow. It is going. The more truth that come out about this scheme-demic and the vaccine, I just do. It is going to fall apart.
I saw something that really, since I talked with Ed, I talked to Ed today. We had some conversations today, and I saw something that was stunning in the last couple of days since this came out on Hotwire, and since we released it to the public. And I'm glad the folks on Hotwire said we should do that, because it's had a profound impact today. Ed said today a lot of people are checking in with him because of the interview he and I did.
Right.
So some people on Hotwire say, I don't think it's good that we're paying for that. Okay, that's cool. I understand. If you want to look at it through that prism, just like with tunnel vision, if you want to look at it that way, that's cool. And if you want to bail, that's cool too. But some things, if I can further the collapse of this company, I'm taking a shot at it. And if you don't want to pay, you know, if you think you've been gypped or something, that's on you, man. Right.
Right.
That's a you thing. I think folks get a lot of value on Hot Wire. But if I can take a shot and get my hand in, you know, the equivalent of a throat punch from the little guy, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it every time. And the fact that he's had so much interest today, his thing just came out publicly. We just put it out last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is big. And he's hearing from some big players. And if these institutions start yanking, if the hedge funds and the big institutions who own a lot of this stock either start shorting it or dumping it,
right,
this fucking thing's going to zero.
Right. Just like you said, the folks that never, that did not get vaccinated with not even one, there's no way you're moving these people. And now ones that are jabbed are not going to get. I have heard from so many people that I know that did, up north, you know, not so much down. I don't know a lot of people down here that did get any of them, but you know, back home, no, they're not getting. No, they'll never get another anything. They took the first two. Some of them did take the booster. Again, they became sick, you know, with whatever, and some of them have problems. But even the ones that did not get sick, they were like, well, you know, I had two vaccines. I didn't take the booster and I'm not taking the booster. Or they had two vaccines and the booster, still nothing really happened to them. But they're like, I will still never take another one again. I'm done. So now we're hearing this. But then we have the other fallout that we've spoken about, which all of these young parents that never really paid attention to vaccines, now suddenly they are. Older people that got their flu shots every year, or their pneumonia shot or shingle shot, these folks are rejecting shots as well. So, yeah, there's going to be some fallout from this, a lot, I feel.
Well, so. I think there's going to be more than fallout. I think there's... This can only go one way. It's only going to go bad. They don't work, number one. It's the most important thing. There's absolutely no upside to these other than some kind of a psychological play and manipulation, right? So if you're selling something that doesn't work, eventually you're going to have problems from the market, okay? But this is a little bit trickier because you can't really tell whether it works, whether it doesn't work. And there's, but I would say in the $1 trillion range now of manipulation from free media coverage 24/7 nonstop for 2 years, that's moving past the $1 billion mark, and you're in the $1 trillion mark. So they're able to form a lot of opinions with that kind of just constant browbeating. It is go get the vaccine. It's like this has been nonstop for almost, you know, 2 years now, going into a 30, it's not going to stop, right? So, but still, they don't work. Look at these dopes in Israel. They're going for the fourth. They have the highest vaxxed place in the world. They have the highest rate of vaccine problems, vaccine injuries, deaths, and they're going for a fourth jab. I mean, there's no upside. So there's only downside. And so it has to blow up at some point. And guys like Fauci and stuff and all these guys, they're spinning their wheels. I just had a talk with these guys I used to work with. We used to sit down and come up with schemes for the government. They hire us to come up with schemes, like threat assessments and stuff. What would you do if you wanted to attack Washington, D.C.? And you were, you know, you had an axe to grind with the government. So we'd sit down and we'd come up with these plans. What you would do. And some of them look pretty much like 9/11. And we did this before 9/11, 2001, these kind of things. But some of the, but that's another story, right? So you sit down and you map all this stuff out. And, well, I don't want to go into that. That's dangerous territory. That's a little bit too dangerous. I know it was 2001, but it's still too soon. But my point here is that the point here is that if let me spin it. If they brought me in now in our group, because we're talking about today, right? And we had to sit down and figure out a scheme to get these people out of trouble. I'm not sure we could come up with one.